Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Let me see if we cut the Kit Kat and hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of May 13th, 2013. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us we have Chris.
Good day.
And Joe.
No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die.
So, I think we need to get right into the show because there is so much TV news to talk about, it is ridiculous. But before we get to that, there's a little bit of movie news. There were a couple trailers that you can find on the site. There's a trailer for the new Alfonso Cuarón movie, Gravity. He did, like, Children of Men and Prisoner of Azkaban. It's like George Clooney and Sandra Bullock in space. So that looks pretty awesome. You can go check that out on the site. Riddick, new full-length trailer for that, so you can go check that out. It's basically like Pitch Black or something, or Pitch Black's Redux.
Reloaded.
Yeah. So, check those both out on site. The only really big movie news this week was that Arnold Schwarzenegger, our patron saint, is going to be in the new reboot of the Toxic Avenger as sort of this weird mentor character to Toxie called the Exterminator.
I get it.
I don't know if I even believe that. Like, I know it's true, but I... How? Just how?
I love the trauma movies. Like,
I guess. I mean, shit.
The Class of Nukem High, and Surf Nazis Must Die, and...
Killer Condoms.
Thanksgiving, or whatever, Frank and Turkey, or whatever that movie was, I don't know.
It was Poultrygeist, sir. How dare you. Sergeant Kabuki Man, NYPD!
I was just on YouTube, and like watching trauma movies the entire day.
I think so.
I love Toxic Crusaders. Used to watch that show all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I love that man, and I love the Toxic Avenger, so I'm really not complaining, but I'm just kind of like, oh, man.
I wonder if he just... Do you think he'll be mutated somehow?
God, I can only hope. I can only hope. But now with Schwarzenegger attached to it, I'm wondering if, like, people are going to take it, like, more seriously, you know what I mean?
They're trying like, to make... Like, as... they said they want to make it more, like... Sort of more wide audience appealing.
Okay.
Do they not know what that word means?
And, like, I think it's supposed to have some...
It is appealing.
I think it's supposed to be kind of, like, more like Toxic Crusaders, where it has, like, an environmental message or something.
Toxic Crusaders had, like, a one message in the beginning of the first pilot episode. Other than that, it was just, like...
Well, he was always, like, Toxie was always, like, cleaning up, like radioactive waste and stuff. And, like, the main villain was, like, polluting the entire planet.
I mean, granted, like, that's what most 90s cartoons villains just did that. Like, that was their, like, borderline villainy, was environmental damage.
Yeah. I mean, Captain Planet, obviously, had a huge influence on everything.
Yep. So... I believe, like, Toxic Crusaders came out first, right?
No, I think Captain Planet was earlier. It was, like, 90. Then, like, Toxic Crusaders was, like, 92 or something.
Yeah, Toxic Avenger was, like, 1987, I think? Could be wrong. It was definitely the very late 80s. And then Captain Planet, and then Toxic Crusaders.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were like, hey, this is kind of like Captain Planet, and we sort of could get this property for little to no money from Lloyd Kaufman.
Mm-hmm.
Granted that the first movie, he didn't do any environmental anything.
Yeah, but the first movie's the best.
Not arguing about that.
You know those truck drivers doing that, like, with that giant, like, Ziploc bag of Coke? They, like, to drive through the gym? That's excellent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so who knows?
Whatever, guys.
I guess I think they're trying to shop, like, the international rights or something at Cannes Film Festival this week. Like,
Jesus.
I don't know what the hell's going on with that movie, but apparently it's moving forward.
Well, that's good.
And, yeah, that's pretty much it for movie news. So why don't we get into this ridiculous amount of TV news? Because, so, it was Upfront this week. Actually, they're still going on for, like, the rest of the week, if you listen to this. All the big networks basically have a big presentation in New York where they show off all their new shows. And it's also, like, we get, like, cancellations during this time and renewals and new shows and all sorts of other crazy TV news. So, I mean, let's get right. I don't know where do you guys want to start. I think obviously we have to start with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
So we finally got the first full trailer for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is coming to ABC this fall, picking up where Avengers left off.
Which is literally just like cleanup crew.
Send in the clowns.
We're not damage control, Chris.
I know, but they'll get there.
You also think, like, this damage control was in one episode. It was like, these goddamn superheroes. You see, like, seeing them randomly cleaning up after, like part of, like, the New York, they got destroyed by aliens. But, so it's Agent Coulson, back from the dead, leading this new team of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, and they're going around just investigating weird technology, weird phenomenon, other superpowered people, all sorts of crazy stuff happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do you think, Chris?
I'm excited. Anything expanding the Marvel Universe is awesome. But they need to start strong. I don't mind if they're going to dip and, like, mention or just, like, bullshit, like, people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, fake superheroes or fake mutants or whatever, just to, like, keep episodes running. Because I bet you, like, out of that first season, there's going to be at least 5 filler episodes just out of nowhere. And I'm dreading those. And I really hope the first 2 episodes aren't filler, where, like, nothing happens or, like, they're introducing, like, weird characters that don't exist.
Yeah, and it looks like that's what they're going with, because, yeah. They also had one of the executive producers, I think his name is Jeffrey Bell.
Yep.
But he told IGN that it's pretty much not Luke Cage.
Yes, yeah, so you see, like, the main superhero we see in, like, the trailer is, like, this, like, black guy in a hoodie who has, like,
pretty much
super
Luke
strength
Cage
and, like,
Luke,
yeah.
Luke Cage-like powers.
Yeah.
And
but he's not
skin
Luke Cage.
Tone and yeah. Which makes a ton of sense. By a ton of sense, I mean no sense, because mm-hmm. I don't get it. Like, why make a character who's basically Luke Cage instead of just putting Luke Cage in it? I don't know. For all we know, this could just be, one of the producers trying to throw the scent off the trail and be like, no, it's not Luke Cage. Stop.
And then going back, going, what the hell is a Luke Cage?
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, oh, I thought you meant Luke Cage was the actor. That's why I said no.
Yeah.
I just write the checks, damn it.
But yeah, what do you think, Joe?
I think the show itself looks great. I think, it's a great concept. And, like, we basically had an idea of what it was going to be, but seeing it in motion is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I love Agent Coulson. I think Clark Gregg is tremendous. So I'm definitely excited to see that he's A, still alive, and B, like, the star of this show, and is really setting the tone for, you know, everything that happens.
Just running
in
shit.
It. Yeah, exactly. The trailer also didn't shy away from, like, showing images of Hulk and showing, like, you know, images of Iron Man flying through the sky. So hopefully they won't just have to limit it to, like, hey, that thing that happened in New York.
Well, I mean,
or, like, pull an Iron Man 3 where they keep saying New York, or do you remember New York? Yes, that happened. Like, hopefully they can say, hey, did you hear about the cool shit Stark did over the weekend? Like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, they don't need to show him. Well, unless it's just, like, you know, on the front page of a newspaper or something.
I think they already did it, like, pretty well with, like, those the Marvel one-shots, you know?
Yes,
like, sure. The Consultant and, like, a funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer and...
Exactly, exactly.
Because those were like, oh, yeah, we gotta go find this... There's this hammer that came down, we gotta go check it out. And they do mention, like, that... Like, I guess apparently, like, the new guy... coming into S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever, or just got promoted or whatever, he's like, oh yeah, I heard about Coulson, he got killed during the battle in New York. And then he's like, mm-hmm. It's like, I have level 6 clearance, so I know about all that stuff. And then like, Coulson comes in and he's like, welcome to level 7. And I also love, and then everyone loves like, there's like the line where like, Coulson has like his like awesome car, and he's like, don't touch Lola.
Yeah, that was cool too.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be, like, case of the week. Like, they're going to have to go out and investigate some crazy shit happening every week. It definitely has, like, it definitely feels like it's got, like, the Joss Whedon stuff going on. Like, there's, like, the nerdy characters, like, the science duo already that they have. And, like the dialogue and everything. So, but I think he wrote the pilot, but he's like, executive producer. I don't think he's like J.J. Abramsing yet. Or like he's like maybe he'll like
from the mind of J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, which we'll get to in a little bit, but definitely. I mean, I think it's definitely gonna be the biggest show of the fall, and definitely like the only reason to watch ABC in like probably years for me.
Well, you watch Scrubs.
I didn't watch Scrubs, no. I think last season I watched Last Resort, and I got canceled, so.
Well, it finished.
Yeah, they let it finish, which is okay.
Better than cancellation.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't usually watch anything on ABC. Yeah, so that was definitely the biggest show that got announced, or, I mean, we knew about it, just, like, seeing the trailer and everything, and, like, having it officially picked up. Which, if ABC didn't pick that show up, that would have been the dumbest move in the history of anything.
Yeah.
Then the other huge news that we learned is that one of our most beloved shows is coming back, 24. I know, beep. Brian and I, like, that was, like, one of the main reasons we started the original stuff with 24.
Damn straight.
Chris, I don't remember if you watched 24 that much.
I watched, like, the first two seasons, and then I watched, like, parts.
Mm-hmm.
So, I gotta watch it again.
Yeah, I never finished it myself. It's on Netflix still, I believe.
Is it?
I think it is. I wanna say it is. I'll look into it. It's been in my queue for, like, 4 years.
Yeah, how long... What did you get up to, Joe?
I got up to, like, a few episodes into season 3, but that was years ago.
Okay.
Like, I get it. It was a cool show. I just didn't really, like, follow it. Nothing against it, though. I liked it from what I saw.
Jack Bauer is...
Yeah, they still have it.
America's Greatest Hero.
It's 202 episodes, and then they also have, not streaming, but you could get the 24 Redemption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say definitely get on watching 24 if you haven't watched it to get ready. But you can skip season 6 because that's like one of the worst seasons of television ever.
Fuck.
But then 7 and 8 actually pick back up. So I know my personal favorite season is 4. I know Brian loves season 2. So.
Mhm.
Because 4 was just like insanity of like, you had Arnold Vosloo running around as like this crazy. He is like. He, like, melts down nuclear plants, and he steals a missile, and, like, he tries to kill he has this plan to kill the president, and he blows up Air Force One. It's just, like, so it just keeps getting more and more insane. And I think, and 5 was, like, I think a lot of people's favorite season, just because it had, like, Gregory Itzen was, like, the evil president.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, like, kind of awesome, like, Jack Bauer sticked on the president.
Right.
But yeah, so it's gonna be, in May of next year, there's gonna be a 12 episode limited series of 24. That's gonna be called 24 Live Another Day.
I get it.
And going to pick up after, I'm assuming after season 8, which I don't think it's too big a spoiler, but like Jack was on the run after that season for doing something. So it'll probably like, he's going to have to come back for because of some crazy terrorist plot, and then probably no one will believe him, and then he'll, cause even though he saved the country like 8 times already.
Wait, was season 8 the last season?
Yes, Chris. That's why I said it was after season 8.
I don't know. Like, they could have done another weird prequel.
It was the, they were in New York that season. And see, it's like 7 was Washington, and then 8 was New York.
Ah. I did not watch the last 2 seasons.
They definitely, like, 6 was just so, so bad. And then, like, 7 and 8 kind of, like, brought it back to where it was.
Like, when I watched Sam Wise die, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not watching this show anymore.
that was season 5, I think.
Yep, that's how much my... that's up until that point, I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Because they killed, like, half the cast of the show in, like, 1 episode.
Right, they got gassed. Yeah. And I was like, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, so, definitely excited for that to come back. I'm sure we'll bring back the Jack Attack as well, which is our recap feature for 24.
One could only hope. Mm-hmm.
So that was awesome. And then before we get to like the network by network, there's actually a couple big like passes for pilots. CBS didn't pick up the Beverly Hills Cop show,
which is kind of shocking.
Yay.
They said it felt too old or something, or too retro. And, like, Eddie Murphy stole the spotlight from everyone else, so it was, like, it wasn't going to be in every episode, so it was, like, I don't know, there's some weird stuff going on there.
Wait. Eddie Murphy steal the spotlight?
Yeah. Or they thought it was going to be, like, a distraction or something, I don't know. That's what a CBS guy said.
Whatever.
Then ABC also passed on Big Thunder, which is going to be a show based on Big Thunder Mountain Railroad from Disney World.
Yeah. Oh,
it was going to be like this weird like Western show where like this like inventor goes to like the West and starts like there's like this town that has like a bunch of like mysteries going on.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, it was just bad. So that's the reason that got passed on.
I see.
And then NBC pretty much canceled almost their entire lineup of shows. They canceled pretty much every comedy besides Parks and Rec and Community, and then just a ton of other stuff as well. Because NBC is in pretty bad trouble right now. And then, I don't know, was there any shows you guys were, like, wondering if it got canceled or renewed?
I can't believe Mob Doctor got canceled when,
like,
there was such a hype for the first week, and then it just disappeared. I thought, oh, okay, maybe they'll go for rewrites, and they just kind of slowly pulled it off the schedule.
So I think everyone was just, like, laughing at the name, and they want to see if the show was as stupid as the name.
Like, the premise was good, but then it got too, like, preachy about, like, being a woman and a doctor and really weird, like, family ties. And then it became, like, I think, like, half the show she wasn't even a doctor anymore. She was just, like, running around yelling at family.
Well, you're corrupted by the mob now, so you're not a doctor anymore. You lost your medical license.
That would happen?
I don't know. I've not seen a single minute of that show.
Really? Well, the first episode is, like... she has this owes someone a favor, and the second episode is they kill that person that she owed someone a favor, so now she owed someone else a favor for killing that person. Mm-hmm. And her family, even though knows that there's mafia in involved, like are surprised that she's a mafia doctor. Like it's the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
So I was really shocked. And I was like, wow, I thought that, like that would just be on like when no one was watching. But.
I don't, Joe, your beloved Blue Bloods got renewed for another season.
Yes.
They're getting let in by Hawaii 5-0 now on Fridays.
Hell yeah.
Vegas got canceled, which is kind of big. That was like,
no.
Don't throw a lot of Tom Selleck in it anyway.
That was Dennis Quaid and Michael Chiklis.
Dennis Quaid.
And they're trying to be like,
Michael Chiklis wearing that fedora. Come on. The fuck out of my face, dude.
It's like, hey, you guys like Mad Men? Here's Mad Men plus CSI plus Law and Order. Plus Vegas.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's not really too much else. So why don't we get into new shows? So, I don't know, you guys want to go like network by network here?
Sure, whatever you want to do.
Okay, so I guess first up, because I have it open, NBC.
I've heard of NBC.
Yeah, they're...
They do things.
Must see
TV. They're still around.
Their entire lineup gets like overshadowed by Duck Dynasty reruns.
Yep.
But yeah, so
those are the breaks.
They have a ton of space on their schedule after their like mass culling of shows. So, I think definitely the best one looking show that they have for the upcoming season is Blacklist. Mm-hmm. You guys watch the trailer for that one?
No, I didn't.
So it stars James Spader as a.
Oh yes, no, I did. Yeah, just kidding.
Like, basically, like, a terrorist Hannibal Lecter.
No, he's Robert California.
As a terrorist.
Robert California begins.
Things went super, super dark after he left Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, like, he just shows up at CIA headquarters and is like, hey, I'll help you guys catch other terrorists, but I want to just talk to this one rookie girl. And he clearly has some, like, super horrible hidden agenda going on.
Well, it seemed like just the trailer revealed the first two episodes of the show.
All these upfront trailers. I can't remember the actual name. Cause there's a specific name for them, but they always show like it's like the first episode cut down to 5 minutes.
Yeah, because I was like, holy crap! I don't need to watch a show anymore.
Yeah, at least like because it's like they're like cut downs or something or some weird term, but like yeah, they always show the pilot just cut down and edited to 5 minutes. It definitely looks pretty good. James Spader is always awesome to watch, so.
Yeah, he is.
I really hope that Hannibal doesn't get canceled, because that show is awesome.
Yeah, I want to see it. Like, I'm hoping it gets added to, like, Netflix, or I could just Hulu it in one fell swoop, you know?
I think they said that we're going to hear about it in, like, a week or two, if they got renewed or not.
Yeah.
Which, it's like, the only show, like, that the critics don't hate on their show, on NBC, so.
Huh.
Yeah, so Blacklist looks pretty good. They also have they have Dracula coming out, which looks god-awful.
Dracula.
Hmm. I'm a vampire! That's what we'll get to.
My eyes.
But yeah, so,
my soul.
It's from the same, I think it's from the producers who brought you, the Borgias, or, like, the Tudors. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, like, fast forward, like maybe, like, 100 years, and now it's the Tudors in, like, Victorian England with Jonathan Rhys-Meyers as Dracula.
Cool.
Yeah, it looks super terrible. I don't even know what
it's very stylish, though. I will admit that.
Yeah, it's like the Tudors of, like, oh man, everyone's lounging around in slow motion and secrets and betrayals.
Betrayal. some of the, I like they're changing up the lore a little bit. And there's, like, vampire hunters in the show, which I thought that was kind
of
cool.
He's hiding his identity, because he doesn't say he's Dracula, and he's not, like, Count Dracula or anything. He's, like, some other...
Some Jonathan Gray guy or something.
Yeah. Count Alan Gray, or I don't know whatever his name is. And also, like, he was, like, he had, like, a wife or something that got killed, and now, like, maybe she's resurrected or something.
Oh, they're following the same storyline where Mina Harker is like, a resurrected spirit of the other wife he had, mm-hmm. and then, well, he's been, like, a vampire ever since then. Which I kind of like. Like, I like that part in Dracula, where he's just kind of like a torn lover, but then he became like an asshole over the ages.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And sort of the last big drama is Ironside.
I actually thought this was such a comedy. Like, I thought it was just, like,
it feels, the biggest... Like, it feels like this would be, like... Like a Kroll show sketch or something, or like some weird like comedy sketch of like, it's like it's just, he's in a wheelchair, but he's stopping crime.
Bobby Bottle Service, bro.
It's like that. Was it Wheels Ontario?
Yeah, I just came here from Saskatoon.
Yeah, but yeah, so it's It's a it's like a cop show, but the cop he got in a shootout and like he got paralyzed and now he's in a wheelchair. But that gives him a unique
now he's Joe Swanson.
Yeah, basically.
Come on, guys.
And he has a unique perspective on crime now.
I'm sure he does.
Like 4 feet lower than he has to be.
They say that so many times in the trailer, just like I got a different view from down here, or like I got a unique perspective from down here.
Oh, Christ. Like I'm not even sure. That, I mean, there's like, I get the message of trying to be like meaningful, but it comes off very disrespectful.
It comes off as like, welp, what twist can we put on the cop show to make it interesting? Because everything else has been done.
It's like ducking. No one's ever ducked before, or like crouched.
I think there was. I remember on like Canadian channel, there was like a deaf show. Like there was it's like a cop who was or like a consultant who was deaf, and she helped the cops with like she could see things more better or something. I don't know.
That's even worse.
Yeah,
but like right. I actually liked Blind Justice. Do you remember that?
Jesus.
Does anybody remember Blind Justice?
I do. I didn't watch it, but I remember it.
The dude was a cop, or he's a detective.
Yeah.
And he was blind.
Mm-hmm.
And he was Imagine really good that. At what he did. Yeah, like he was how long ago was it?
A while ago.
A while ago, yeah. But it was just kind of like right. It was during that time where like NYPD Blue was like cop shows were like supposed to be like really. Procedural, and they're like, well, okay, I'll throw this is like the first one I threw like a weird twist in it where like they threw a handicapped person into the mix, yeah. And then ever since then they've been tweaking that formula,
yeah, like mentalist
with either like with like either some cop with like who is really good at figuring out like lies,
yep,
like lie to me,
yep,
some cop that
it's like a super. It's like they have a super skill that they.
Super skill, yeah. Like,
super perceptive, or like. Super,
yeah, it's either really perceptive, or just like there's some sort of weird quirk about them that like, you can just like oh, we called it the USA formula.
It's kind of yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we should do a giant article about like, the right person for the wrong job, or the wrong job for the right like, person.
The top five most special cops.
Special cops, yeah.
And as far as comedies go for NBC, I think the only one worth mentioning is Michael J. Fox Show.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's like, so he is like, he used to be a reporter, and then he gets Parkinson's, and then now he's coming back to being a reporter.
You know, when I saw that, I thought
it looked kind of shaky.
Well, make like a joke that like he like shook himself off camera during his like farewell speech or something.
I actually thought it was just like come watch Michael J. Fox like live his life, the show. I would have watched that. But then it's like, oh, he used to be a reporter. Now he has Parkinson's. Now he's the A Michael.
Yeah.
With Parkinson's, and I was like, oh. of the balls to say this is Michael J. Fox of Parkinson's the show. Enjoy it, America.
It's the triumphant return.
Oh boy.
So
yeah,
so that's NBC. So moving on to Fox. Fox has a couple of shows that looks pretty good, and then a couple of shows that look absolutely fucking ridiculous.
Amen.
So actually, let's kick it off with I know a show we talked about a couple weeks ago when we heard about the casting, but Almost Human, which stars one of our favorite people, Carl Urban. And he is – it's like in the future, and basically it's – the cops are required to have robot, like, sidekicks with them now, or, like, robot partners. And Carl Urban, like, gets into a – like, he hates them, and then he gets into, like, some sort of accident or, like, something happens to him, and he gets, like, a robotic leg. And then he gets partnered up with, like, this, like, older model of robot that is, like – more sort of like more human and has like more like emotions and stuff, or like tries to have emotions, kind of more like Data from like Star Trek TNG. And then like new ones are like super robotic, like they have no emotion or anything. It's just that those two like go around solving future crimes.
I got the older model is I don't know what to say about this one, but, like, it's just, like, any kind of downfall. It's like, well, cop, you hate robots, so I'll give you the shittier version. It's like, oh, fuck you guys.
Mm-hmm. It's,
I don't know.
It's kind of like, it's got, like, a little, like, iRobot in it a little bit. It's got a little...
Tons.
Yeah.
Not even a little, it's tons.
Yeah. Definitely, it's from J.J. Abrams, so, and it definitely feels like the successor to, like, Fringe, because, like, they're, like, trying to, like, all their cases look, like, really weird, and like there's like all sorts of like future diseases and like future crimes that are like future terrorist attacks happening and stuff.
So after like two episodes, J.J. Abrams is not gonna pick this up again. He just walks away.
I'm sure he's not even like involved in anything really. He's too busy with Star Wars.
He just wrote his name on the paper. Yeah. And that was it.
Mm-hmm. Looks like there's a couple like cool things. Like I like that like the robot partners can, like, just, like, inject themselves with, like, evidence and, like, analyze it. You see that part? Like, they stumble across the body and, like, they're like, we gotta get into the lab. He's like, there's no need to go to the lab. And just, like, injects into his neck. And, like, here's the analysis in that blood.
No, I didn't see that. But I don't watch all the trailer either. I skipped around.
But yeah, I'll probably definitely check that show out. And then the award for, like, most ridiculous show of the upcoming season is easily going to Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Like, you're just, like, describing the plot of the show is just, like, it's, like, it just makes you sound like the most insane person on Earth.
Well, it doesn't sound terrible if you take out the whole time travel aspect.
Well, it wasn't a time travel. It was a curse.
Or something.
But they start in the late 1700s.
Yep.
And it goes through to modern day.
Yep.
So there's time travel.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they're getting into a machine or not, it's the same classic setup. I don't care the means of how they got there. I care that it's like, hey, look, a person from the past. Check this out.
And that person from the past? Ichabod Crane.
Yeah.
So... The premise of the show is that Ichabod Crane was a secret agent working for George Washington during the Revolution, and George Washington told him to kill this one specific British soldier who wore like a Bane mask and like had an axe and was like murdering people. And so Ichabod manages to like behead him, but they both get killed, and then Ichabod wakes up in modern times. But also the Headless Horseman shows up in modern times as well. And it turns out he's also one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Just because.
Because, yeah. And now Ichabod Crane's working with the cops to try to like track him down and stop him from doing whatever he's gonna do, which I guess is cause the apocalypse.
Why wouldn't he be?
And then it's just like it ends with like the Headless Horseman just like strapping himself with like every gun ever. It's like going on a rampage.
Well, you forgot to mention the witch cults, that the good and evil one.
Oh, yeah, there's like evil, there's like two occult teams at work, too. Like, one wants to kill the head of swordsman, wants to, like, have him bring the apocalypse about or something.
Something. It's not really clear.
Yeah. Like, I know we were talking about it last night, but it definitely seems like they saw some sort of, like, DeviantArt picture of, like, the Headless Horseman, like, loaded up with guns, and were like, yes, that's a show. Now we just have to figure out how it gets to that point. I know, my hope is that it's so fucking ridiculous that it's awesome.
Yeah, same here.
Like,
but like, I do like how the show is kind of aware. I do like how the show is kind of aware how ridiculous it is.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I hope it is. I really hope it is. Because we just like, oh man, you see that shit at Sleepy Hollow last night? Where like, this horseman, like, time traveled and like brought a dinosaur back and like.
I'm okay with that.
Master of the dinosaurs.
Yeah. And then, like, George Washington, like, appeared in, like, the future as, like, a hologram and gave, like, think about Crane, like, a lightsaber, and then... It's like, anything could happen on this show.
I have to admit, I do like how this show is, like, trying to play around history, like, almost, like, National Treasure level.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, just the occult.
Like, Assassin's Creed style.
Yes, like, there are going to be plenty of historic flashbacks, and for no reason.
Yep.
To go back and forth about, like, weird story arcs.
Yeah, I wonder how, like, if the show can, like, last pass, like, if it's going to, like, the whole season's be, like, them trying to catch the Headless Horseman, like, if they catch him at the end, or, like, it's like, well, next season we'll try to get him, I guess.
Oh, like the killing? They pull up the killing move?
Yeah, like the fouling or something.
Well, the following didn't know it was going to get renewed.
It'd be even more ridiculous if, like, at the end of the first season of Sleepy Hollow, if it even if it doesn't get canceled or anything, if, like, they kill this Headless Horseman, like, three more show up as, like, the other horsemen, and it's, like, other, like, horrible, like, criminals from the past got brought back. It's, like, a Nazi guy or something, or, like,
Oh, my God, different theme Headless Horsemen from throughout the ages.
Yeah.
It's a Headless Horseman beach party.
Mm-hmm. So I think we're all definitely check out the first episode to see how insane that show is.
Oh, hell yeah. We're not missing that train, right?
Yeah. And then there is this Rake with Greg Kinnear, where he's like this like super asshole lawyer. I don't know, it looks all right. The one comedy that I'm actually kind of excited for this coming fall is Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Mm-hmm.
You guys see that trailer for that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so starring Andy Samberg. It's from the guys made Parks and Rec. And it's just about this team of detectives in Brooklyn. And they're all super wacky. And they got a new, like, no-nonsense captain coming in to, like, straighten them out. But yeah, you see Andy Samberg, you got Terry Crews, you have Andre Brower, you have Joe Latruglio, you have, I don't know, who else is in the show?
Random hot Latino woman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then just like, random vet guys.
Yep, mm-hmm.
Which is fine by me.
Yeah, the show reminds me of like, the Naked Gun. Almost like not like the TV show one, not the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like, hope it's like what if Parks and Rec was in a police station?
Kind of, yeah.
And then
it also feels kind of like the
other guys.
Well, yeah, the other guys, and also Fox actually had their show called The Good Guys.
Oh, weren't you a big fan of those?
Good Guys is awesome. Yeah.
So I'm surprised like that left and this got replaced. Like this is a sort of like weird cop show, not really cop show.
Yeah, this is more like it's more like traditional sitcom, like half hour. Because Good Guys was like an hour, and then like it was funny, but I don't know, like, it wasn't, it was supposed to be like this, like, action comedy kind of thing, and then they didn't really figure out, I don't know if, it was awesome, but I don't know if they, like, actually figured out, like, what they wanted to, actually trying to do with it, because it was, like, the super, like, it felt like a 70s show kind of or something, of, like, or, like, it was, like, because it's when it's getting a Burn Notice.
Wait, what?
The guy who made Burn Notice made, The Good Guys.
Ah. So trying to be serious, and then out of nowhere, just wacky comedy.
Well, I mean, it was always wacky. I'm not really sure why it didn't, like, why they felt it didn't work, because it was pretty awesome every episode. But, yeah, so Brooklyn Nine-Nine's coming out, and then, they have Dads from Seth MacFarlane, which is, like, live action, definitely trying to, like, capitalize on that Ted money. That Ted cred.
Get that Ted cred, son.
Yeah. So it's Seth Green and Giovanni Ribisi co-starring, and then they get into wacky misadventures with their dads.
Canceled.
And they work together somewhere.
Doing something?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really interesting to me. Like, it felt very forced, all Definitely. These jokes. Plus there's a laugh track.
Did you guys see his other live-action show? The one with Rob Corddry?
No.
Oh, God, what the hell was the name of that show? It lasted, like, 3 episodes, if that.
Seth MacFarlane did a live-action show once?
Yeah, it was set in, like, the 90s, and they made, like, just all the awful, forced 90s jokes you could possibly imagine. Like, every episode referenced, like, O.J. Simpson and, like, all the other 90s things. Like, Michael Lewinsky, all these other jokes they made.
Yeah, no, I remember it. I just didn't watch it. Jeez Louise. Yeah.
The Winner, that's what it was called.
I remember Shasta McNasty. That was my show.
When UPN still existed?
Yeah. Those were the days.
Oh, and also, I actually just put it up today on the, I updated the Fox post that we have, but they put up a new trailer for X-Cop. And it looks fucking insane, as you would imagine from X-Cop. Like, it looks like the first episode is, like, him trying to help Bat Warthog Man, like, rescue his friends who got killed by this giant, like, stone god guy. And, like, Bat Warthog Man is voiced by Pete from Mad Men.
Oh, Jesus.
And X-Cop is voiced by Nick Offerman, aka Juan Swanson, and, like, there's just a ton of other, like, ridiculous guest stars in it. And it's probably, like, I still have no idea, like, what the hell this, like, Saturday lineup is on Fox. It's like Animation Domination HD. It's gonna be like, yeah. It's like an hour and a half, or like an hour of like animated shows.
Yeah, I guess it's gonna be that way.
Because actually, I think they finally canceled Cops this year too. So, the clear room for like the Animation Domination. And then I think, I don't know, was there anything else on Fox you guys saw? They got some Army show called Enlisted.
I did not see that.
That looks pretty awful. And then they have Jason Ritter and Alexis Bledel in Us and Them. And somehow it's Michael Ian Black in it.
Okay.
Well, he hasn't really been doing anything, so.
Burning Love.
Yeah, that's not like a TV show, though.
It should be. It's on the show on E.
Really? I didn't know.
Yeah, they showed the first season on E. But, moving on. ABC. I don't know. There's not really anything besides S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC. Did you guys watch any of those trailers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're forgettable.
Yeah, it was like Mind Games with like Christian Slater and Steve Zahn.
Ugh. anything with Christian Slater on TV shows gets canceled really fast.
Pretty much, yeah.
And didn't, like, almost 1 year, he went through three different shows?
Well, he was on, it was, like, My Own Worst Enemy.
My Own Worst Enemy.
Where he was, like, a spy, but then he also had, like, an evil spy.
Yeah, so, he was, like, normal businessman and then spy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's part of, like, it's like this agency, like, he went in and, like, got his, like, evil persona, like, his spy identity downloaded to him, and then when he came back, like, he has, like, family man persona uploaded to him, and then, like, they, like, started, like, fighting each other and stuff. And then he was in that, Breaking In, wasn't it? It was on, like, Fox. It was, like, this, like, comedy where, like, you had, like, there was, like, a team of, it was, like, Leverage or something, where, like, they're, like, this team of thieves or con artists or something.
Yep.
Now this one is...
That had, like, two seasons, though.
Yeah.
That's not so bad.
They have a consulting firm where they, like, trick people using, like, psychological maneuvers to, like, make them do things. And, like, people are saying that it's, like, Inception without, like, going to people's dreams. It's just, like, planting ideas in people's minds. Like,
it's the worst concept, because
we're going to cause this elaborate situation so that, like, causes you to think that you should be a better person.
No, it's just, we're going to hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
And we're going to make you emotionally, like, vulnerable to situations. Mm-hmm. And then that's how we're going to con you.
Yep.
And, like, that's even worse than Inception.
How do people, like, find them to, like, hire them? Like, I heard you guys, like, break people's brains.
I heard you people are manipulative people. So here's a bunch of money and do our bidding.
Can you give me, like, a job as, like, a CEO of a company?
I do like how they're pretty much like the A-team in the sense where, like, people hire them out of nowhere and then they somehow fix the situation.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to get really retarded real fast.
It's definitely, like, in... Like, I think Burn Notice kind of, like, set up this thing of, like, we're gonna help you with our particular set of skills. Now, because I was, like, Leverage and... like, Breakout Kings and all these other, like,
yeah, like,
shows.
Those shows make sense, because it's, like, they're not going to fuck with their, like, the other, like, victims' mentality. Like, they're still going to be who they are at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
It's, like, they're going to change their personality for, like, I don't know how long. Like,
yeah.
Really emotionally crippling their ego.
And, let's see, what else? ABC. They have this show called Resurrection, which is, like, this, like, little kid comes back to life. After, like, 23 years, and, like, they bring him back home, and it's like, oh, he died 23 years ago.
We found him floating in China.
Yeah. It seems like it's a cool idea, but it seems like the show's gonna be, like, just the sappiest show ever made. Like, it should be on, like, Hallmark Channel.
I feel like it should have just been, like, a movie, not, like, a TV show.
Yeah. They have Killer Women with Trisha Helfer, where she's, like, a Texas Ranger going and, like, hunting down criminals. It's from, like,
cool.
It's, like, produced by Sofia Vergara, and it's, like, looks like it's trying way too hard to be, like, a Robert Rodriguez movie.
It's trying to be too hard to hate Mexico, because it's, like, we gotta go to Mexico, because that's where all the bad things are happening.
Yeah. Probably done way better than The Bridge coming this summer.
But at least The Bridge is, like, more intriguing and not trying to be, like, women are, like, powerful just as men.
Yeah, it's, like, remember...
False.
You know that Tarantino song that is, like, the signal of all Tarantino songs? We're gonna put that in the trailer. Did you guys see anything else on ABC?
Not really, no.
The Goldbergs, like, it could be okay. I mean, it's got Jeff Garland in it, so.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's trying too hard to be the Wonder Years.
Kind of. Except now it's in the 80s.
And, I have no interest in this family. Like, they're not, like, they're all assholes.
Pretty much.
And it's not even like, oh, they're interesting assholes. These are like, no, everything about them is just terrible.
It seems like they might be trying to, like, enforce, like, some found footage or something in, because it's like, oh, the little kid films everything.
Yeah, that would have been great if, like, you saw it through, like, that. See, the story would have been different if, like, the show was based on just the footage, not the narration or the actual, like, scenery, you know? Like, it was just, like, found footage. Each tape was an episode.
Yeah.
That, like, I just pitched you a better version of that. Mm-hmm.
Because found footage shows do so well, though.
Has there been a found footage show yet?
The River.
That got canceled, didn't it?
Yep.
No, but no, it was half found footage, half not found footage, remember?
Wait, the river was all found footage.
I thought it was like some parts
it was,
took place outside of the boat.
It's from like Oren Peli.
Hmm. We never found out what happened on that river, did we?
No, the last episode was like the river like closing in and like shifting around. So it's like, oh my god, we're never getting off the river. The river's going to keep us here forever.
Hey, fun fact, don't go to the Amazon.
Yeah.
It's always terrible there.
If you're not getting caught on magic rivers, you're like getting attacked by anacondas.
Or John Voight wants to sell you a snake bait.
Yeah. In like in his like weird Portuguese accent. So last network, CBS, they have a couple. Since they have like all their shows are doing fine, they only canceled like 4 shows, so they only picked up like 5 shows. So they're gonna be doing in the fall. They're gonna have Hostages, which is supposed to be like it's kind of be like a miniseries or something, or like a limited like it's gonna like wrap up in the fall. And it stars Toni Collette and Dylan McDermott, and Dylan McDermott is a like rogue FBI agent who like kidnaps this surgeon who's going to perform surgery on the president and tells her, "Oh, you have to go kill the president, or I'm going to kill your family."
Seems fair.
Yeah, it seems like it's a cool premise. It's just that I kind of
maybe a good movie.
Yeah, it would be a great movie because you kind of know like at the suit there's going to be like a twist. In this show, they're kind of saying there's so many twists you're not prepared for it. Like,
yeah.
I don't have the patience because the premise looks kind of dumb, honestly.
Like, don't, he's like Dylan McDermott's like this weird conspiracy guy or something, like, or like part of this like conspiracy of like, oh, we got to kill the president, and it's like this like wall of just like strings and maps and pictures and stuff.
And then he's got like a really weird team of that would help him.
Yeah.
On this weird hostage situation.
Who are everywhere, man? They can see your every move.
And it's like, well, if you have that many agents, then why don't you, like...
Kill the president yourself.
Kill the president. Yeah, like, do something. You don't need to kidnap this woman's family. But obviously, she's
gonna,
like...
have your guy at the hospital, like, wheel the president into, like, some room or something and kill him there. Or, like, inject him with something, like, walking by.
We don't know. Maybe it's, like, a one giant twist. Like, the surgeon is the villain.
Yeah.
In on it. Like, who knows? But... I don't know. I'll wait. That's definitely a show I need to watch right now.
Yeah. Especially if it's gonna be like limited, like it's gonna end. You can just like catch it on like Netflix or something. Or
I'm actually okay when TV shows do say limited view, like because they actually have a focus.
Yeah, like British style.
British style. Even like The Following, I haven't watched it yet, but I know that it's a focused show. Like at least season one was.
Yeah.
Like the worst example, I always bring this up for this now, is The Killing.
Yep.
Where after one goddamn season, you still don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. Who killed Rosie Larson? I don't know.
Like, that's me. I don't give a shit anymore. No. Like, you stop caring.
Yep.
Murder mysteries, after so many, like, so many of them now, you stop caring about the reasons. You're just like, whatever. Like, she's just dead.
Mm-hmm. She's a stupid kid who, like, went to an Indian casino or something and was, like, banging a senator.
I mean, that's why CSI episodes that are great, because they're one wrapped-up thing.
Yep.
Two-parters suck, because they go on forever, and it's just like, what the fuck? I don't know anymore.
That's why procedurals are the most powerful genre on TV.
Yes, they work when they're focused. Can you imagine if a procedural show took, like, 10 episodes?
That was The Killing.
No, but I meant, like, in, like, at least The Killing, like, took over, like,
because The Killing was, like, because The Killing was... We have this one case, and they stretch it out for, like, 10 episodes, and they, like, keep throwing in, like, red herrings and weird...
No, but, like, here's the thing. In The Killing, they would actually, like, it took over months of like detective work. Like they would actually like go home, play with their kids, and then go back, and then like
it was
detect.
Like it was like a week.
They kept, it felt like forever.
Because the first couple episodes, like she was like, "Oh, well, I'm leaving in 4 days, so we gotta wrap this case up in 4 days." And then it was like, "Oh, it's 3 days. We got better." And like, "I'm leaving on Saturday." It's like, "Oh, it's Saturday. Well, we have to stay till Sunday."
It felt like forever.
Yeah,
like, I thought like that's why I just can't take a show like. Let's talk about the one show we talked. That's like, imagine this, the Mixology. Did you see the trailer for Mixology?
Oh yeah. That's on – is that coming on Fox, I think? Or is that on – oh, it's ABC,
know.
I think. Is,
yeah. ABC, yeah. Holy shit. It's about one event that takes place over I don't know how many episodes.
Yeah, it's going to be like – there. It's this one bar, and they're just going to follow like different stories in the bar every week.
It's like imagine the worst episode of Cheers, and then everyone's like Sam. So they all have the same, like, oh, it's about me problem.
It's like Crash.
Yes.
In a bar with, like, rich douchebags.
Yes, it's like rich people at a yuppie-ass bar.
Yeah.
And it's, like, probably the worst bunch of people you ever want to go out with all hang out. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, for one season, you'll follow this one event. I was like, hell no.
Or, like, the event, Chris.
Oh, God. I like some of these shows probably work best as TV, like really shitty TV movies, or like possibly like a weird dead season release in movie theaters, you know, where it's just like March and nothing's on.
Yep. So Hostages is going to fall, and then CBS taking over in like the spring is going to be Intelligence, which stars Josh Holloway from aka Sawyer from Lost. He's a special forces soldier who gets embedded, like, he gets a microchip embedded in his head that, like, makes him, like, the super soldier. He can see evidence in front of him. He can electronically open doors and work electronics, and he can access, like, all sorts of, like, satellites and all sorts of crazy stuff. It's basically, like, I know, Chris, you were saying it's, like, Iron Man, basically. like extremist Iron Man.
He has extremist powers.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, total control of, like, computers and satellite communications, and like able to like recreate crime scenes, like 3D virtual crime scenes. And then like Marge Helgenberger is his like supervisor,
who's like angry at him
for like no reason.
No reason.
It's like, humans shouldn't be robots, damn it. Why am I at this project that's like turning people into robots? Why did I take this job?
Why do I have to work?
Why did I leave Las Vegas?
I question that all the time.
Mm-hmm. He just like left Ted Danson to like just do whatever he does.
I still gotta admit, CSI, even though it's falling from grace, it's still on.
It's the only one, like, they canceled CSI New York this year.
I'm fine with that.
And they canceled CSI.
Horatio Caine got too crazy.
No, that was like
No, that's Gary.
Gary Sinise.
Gary Sinise.
Yeah, they canceled CSI Miami like a while ago, like 2 years ago probably.
I'm fine with that. Like, it's because, you know why? Because like they went over the top too fast.
Mm-hmm.
But CSI really stuck there being fucking stubborn and really hasn't. It peaked like 5 years ago, but it's still on.
Like. They quickly, like, CSI Miami, like, way too, like, ran out of the David Caruso ridiculousness, like, too quick. Everyone was like, oh, man, this show's hilarious because David Caruso's insane. It's like, well, now it's just a stupid procedural show. I'm just going to watch, like, the year-end montage of, like, David Caruso one-liners. So, and then for comedies, they have, I know, probably the biggest one that they're, like, pushing is, like, The Crazy Ones, which is Robin Williams and Sarah Michelle Gellar running, like, an ad agency together, and their father and daughter.
Oh, wacky.
Yeah. You see that one, Joe?
No, but the idea of Robin Williams on TV is a little bit interesting.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely Robin Williams-ing it up.
I'd have to imagine.
He's not even playing a character. He's playing himself.
He's like coked up Robin Williams, like doing impressions.
Is Bobcat Goldthwait involved with it?
I didn't see
it. I wish.
Hopefully he shows up at some point as like a client or something.
I hope so. They make a great team.
You know, I know you'll like appreciate this, but like Bob from Mad Men is on this show for some reason. Which hopefully that doesn't mean like he's gonna be like horribly killed off or something in this season.
That's a possibility.
When he finally just started, like he finally like did something awesome in the last episode after like his like weeks and weeks of like coffee injection.
Pretty much.
And then they have. Okay, Chris, did you see this trailer for We Are Men?
No.
So it's Tony Shalhoub, Jerry O'Connell, and Cal Penn, and they all live together in, like, this apartment. They, like, separate apartments. They all, like, just hang out at this apartment complex together and do dude stuff, I guess.
Oh, God, they're gay, aren't they?
No, they're going to bars and trying to pick up chicks and stuff. It's just, like, they're, like, hanging out at this apartment complex, like, doing stuff.
Yeah, no, like, not interested.
And then they have Mom with Anna Faris, which is from Chuck Lorre of Two and a Half Men and Big Bang Theory, and she's like a recovering alcoholic who has to like live with her also alcoholic mom. And things get wacky.
No, it's like it's three women and they're all crazy.
Yep.
Like the daughter, Anna Faris, and Anna Faris' mom.
Mm-hmm.
And
Anna Faris'
daughter. Anna Faris' daughter is there, but it's like every character is basically a ripoff of Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, you're talking about like I remember like one of the lines was like the mom used to like snort cocaine off of like shag carpets or something. I don't know. They're always
like they pretty much made female
all,
Charlie.
Yeah,
Sheens.
Everything they talk about is either booze or drugs.
Or weird parenting styles. Or, I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Yep. Yeah, so I don't know. So that's pretty much all the new shows. Obviously, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number one with a bullet. Like, the one show we're all definitely going to watch. That one might have to be a review cast just for the first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Something.
Yeah.
Because it's that big.
Why not? Just remember, Smallville.
Yeah, we don't want to get... See, that's a little fear I didn't think of until now.
I'm going to say.
What happens if it goes on for 10 years? No, 13 years.
I heard...
Or what happens if they're fucking totally hoodwinking us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happens if they're like, oh yeah, this is the show all you Marvel guys and girls are looking forward to. And then it's Coulson just like, you know, trying to get some Tang and being sad about not being able to get said Tang.
I don't think H. Coulson would have a problem getting Tang.
I don't know. Or maybe, like, the rookie is trying to get some Tang.
That seems more likely, because he seems like a kind of a douche.
It's just going to be a lot of Tang getting involved.
He's like constantly hitting on, like, Maggie.
Whatever her face is.
Yeah. Chun-Li.
Yeah.
Or like that weird, conspiracy blogger girl.
Yeah.
He's like, we gotta reveal the truth about superheroes. It's like, I think everyone knows the truth about superheroes. They saw the Battle of New York.
Women and their opinions.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Was there anything else TV-wise you guys can think of?
Junior MasterChef.
Oh, yeah. They finally had the first trailer for The Bridge after, like, those weird, like, promos. Of, like, here's a high heel shoe in a river.
Yeah, here's, like, a sombrero in a pool of blood.
Yeah. Definitely looks like an FX show.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a try.
It's like...
I've yet to be... like, displeased with an FX show.
It looks sort of like Justified goes south of the border.
It's a formula.
Yeah. I don't know if Diane Kruger's going to be as charismatic as Braylon Givens, though, so...
No, not possible.
No. Unless she starts wearing a cowboy hat, and maybe. So, yeah, so definitely check out all the... We have posts for every network up on the site, so definitely come check out all those videos and all the other news from TV. So why don't we get into New Release Roundup for this week? And our pick of the week, actually TV show, Dexter Season 7.
Good season.
Oh, you want? Okay. I'll say, dude, one of us watched that.
Yeah, I love
it. I didn't finish it.
Okay. Dexter. I thought it was good. That I think they went places where they had to go. And I will be very curious to see how they wrap it all up next season.
Yeah, because next season's the last season, right?
That is the last season, yeah. I'll also be curious to see who gets the spinoff, but we'll see.
So, also this week we have Cloud Atlas.
Yeah.
Oscar, the movie.
I don't think it got nominated.
No.
Nothing.
No, but it was made for that purpose.
Okay.
Watch the first trailer for Cloud Atlas and then tell me that they had something to say with that movie.
The 8-minute trailer that they put out?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, I'm pretty sure they're probably shooting for, like, makeup Oscars. Like,
no, they made it, and they're like, this is going to change the landscape forever. And then no one gave a fuck, and they're like, oh.
Oh, man, a movie with multiple actors playing different roles?
And races?
Races, time?
Tom Cruise is, I mean, Tom Hanks is Asian?
Yeah, you've got Tom Hanks, you've got Dreams, and you've got, like, Halle Berry, right? So I'm pretty sure that's like just like the instant, like in their minds, Oscar, like it's like an Oscar hot pocket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, just make it and then, you know, you'll be able to eat it soon.
I feel like I saw this movie and it's called the tree of life, or the fountain.
The fountain. Oh yeah.
It's like the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Like multiple time periods. And it's multiple like same time people periods. And...
Love will conquer all, but like, all fucking die for some strange reason. Not to spoil anything.
I still kind of want to see it just because I heard.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
I heard super mixed things about it. But I heard like something like the future like Japan's like when like Neo Tokyo or whatever they are. I heard that part's really awesome because like basically like back to like Wachowski action. So that's out, and then we also have. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D.
Ooh.
Which is a sequel, but it's only a sequel to the original first movie. All the other sequels and all the other remakes don't count. According to this movie. Also have WrestleMania 29?
30?
It's XXIX.
29. Yeah.
So 29. 29. Yeah.
I should know that. I was actually there, so you'd think I would remember this sort of thing.
Was that a pretty good WrestleMania, Joe?
I'm so, like, out of touch with wrestling, honestly. Like,
The Rock was there, right?
The Rock was there, yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I was at WrestleMania 20, and that was, like, the pinnacle of, like, my liking wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my god, it will never be better than this. And unfortunately, I was right. But, yeah, no, it was still a great time, great experience, and you know what, they say what you will about professional wrestling, but the WWE knows how to put on a fucking show, so, good stuff.
And so we also have, Third Rock from the Sun, the complete series, out this week.
Ho ho, good.
Just in time for that anniversary?
Maybe.
Yeah, just in time for me to watch it?
Also, you guys...
Maybe that'll knock, Joseph Gordon-Levitt down a few pegs.
Yeah.
Remember this? It's good. No, shut up.
Remember how stupid your hair was?
Yeah, maybe now just stop being in movies every 4 seconds.
Yeah. You can also get That 70s Show, the complete series, this week. We got Tomorrow You're Gone, which is a Stephen Dorff.
You were going to say Seagal. That sounds like a Seagal title.
That sounds like a We Threw Darts at the Board for Steven Seagal movie title.
Yep.
But no, Stephen Dorff.
Until Dusk.
Like some sort of like weird cop directed DVD movie. Back to 1942, which is Adrian Brody is like this like photographer going to like Japan or China during like World War II.
Yeah, if you ever want to see how to fuck up a career, just do everything Adrian Brody did.
Yeah.
I like him as an actor. Yeah. I mean, no offense, but Jesus Christ,
like first
he went from having
first
a lot going on.
First Raw, it was like Oscar, and then it was like, actually no, first Raw was like Solo.
Yeah.
And then his name was like in the piano or
the piano, yeah.
The pianist.
And then King Kong, and then other stuff.
And then weird, like, crap movies, and then he got really buff for, like, an hour.
Predators, yeah.
Predators, and then he lost all that to just do, like, weird independent-style, not really independent-style movies.
Yep.
And then did he get banned from SNL?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Seems like that's a kiss of death sometimes.
Wait, what did he do again?
Who the hell was the musical guest?
It was something like...
It was a rap...
It was a 3-1-1.
Was it? Oh, yeah, they showed up with, like a Rastafarian hat. It was like, yo, man, it's 3-1-1 or something. Smoke the dope, or, you know. And then he's like...
Yeah, smoke the ganja.
Yeah.
And he was, like, the whitest man to say that. And then, I guess, like, the guy on SNL was like, hell
and
no. Lauren
Michaels was like, you're done. You and Steve Seagal, you're never coming back.
Jesus.
So, also this week we have Listen Dick, which is the apparently god-awful... like Lifetime movie that it was like Lindsay Lohan and Grant Bowler.
What? That was bad.
Apparently Twitter just blew up with like every comedian on Twitter just like ripping it to shreds.
But two of my favorite things.
There's a Huskies made
Lifetime
about it.
Lifetime
so.
And Lindsay Lohan, and yeah. Also the life of Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
That's just like a recipe for success.
I would recommend you just go listen to the How Did This Get Made about that.
That doesn't seem like a desperate money grab at all by either Lindsay Lohan or A&E Networks.
No. also, we have Tasmania, Taz on the Loose.
Ooh.
I think it's like season one.
Taz meaning.
Season one, part one.
Come to Tasmania, come to Tasmania.
And there's like 50 characters.
Yeah, there are a lot of goddamn characters in a show that's about one character.
Yeah. We have Mythbusters Collection 9, just time for the 10th season or something? It's some crazy anniversary, they've been on for like 10 years or something. And then the, original 310 to Yuma is a part of the Criterion Collection this week.
Interesting.
And then Fraggle Rock, 30th anniversary, the complete series with like a stuffed animal and stuff.
Good.
So those are your new releases. So not too much. So why don't we get into show and tell? And I think kicking things off first, we have to mention that we all watched, or more like endured,
The Vampire's Kiss.
Yeah. For our latest Everything Actually commentary, so go check it out on the site right now. You can actually the full movie is from YouTube. It's embedded right above the audio for the commentary, so you can just, like, play them both, sync them right up there, watch it. Like, try to survive the cage rage.
We did.
Yeah. I know we were, like, talking, like, after we watched that movie, it's like, Joe, you were like, it's kind of like we saw, like, witnessed a murder, and now we can't, now we don't know,
yeah.
Like, we can't, like, talk about it, or, like, we have no, we can't make any sense of, like, what happened.
We can't talk about it. We don't know if someone's going to, like, break down and become, like, a recluse now. Like, oh, man, Chris would never did another podcast after that.
Yeah. I can't do it. Vampire's Kiss, man. I can't do it.
I just can't. I'm a vampire!
I'm a vampire!
Like, it's really hard to describe.
In the right file!
It's really hard to describe just, like, the, like... results of this movie. Like, there's just like an outline of what happens.
There's no plot. There's no way to figure out what is happening. There's like, it's just Nicolas Cage just like yelling and turning into a vampire.
And also having a fake accent.
A like southern British yuppie accent.
Yeah, it's weird at best.
You put the files
being generous.
In the files. And you're supposed to place them in the right order. And then also, like, chasing his secretary around for no reason, like, into the women's bathroom, and, like...
Yeah, which preceded American Psycho, by the way.
Yep. And, like, assaulting her and, like, causing her to, like, hire her brother to murder him. And, like, her, like, greaser mechanic brother.
Her not AC Slater brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, it, very strange.
It is.
Definitely, definitely check it out. Yeah. It's on the site. You got the commentary right there. You're crazy not to. You know?
I know, I was like, I don't think you're a true Nicolas Cage fan until you watch this movie.
I would agree with
that.
Or
it might make you a Nicolas Cage fan, like, because this is just like a new level of wacky.
It's like if you consider yourself like a connoisseur of the Cage, and you haven't seen this movie, this is like, I know, Chris, you and I were talking about like National Treasure is like cheddar cheese or something, or like Cheese Whiz, or like the most like accessible cheese ever.
The most acceptable, like it's American cheese where like everyone has it. You kind of know the taste. Like
yeah.
it's not offensive to anyone. Not offensive.
No, and Vampire's Kiss is like that cheese that like they let the maggots like crawl through and like ages it and rots it from the inside, and then only like like 1% of people actually enjoy.
Yeah, it's like that weird foot cheese that like no one.
Yeah,
unless you like, go to like a Wyatt cheese.
The smelliest, like they bring it on a cheese cart and like one guy in the restaurant eats it.
He smells up the whole room.
Yeah, that is Vampire's Kiss.
Yeah, like it's a very. It's better if you watch his later stuff and then go back.
Yeah.
Because if you start off with this, it's like you can never get back to that level.
No.
Maybe like Bad Lieutenant, like New Orleans.
Like Bad Lieutenant and The Wicker Man are like sort of like mid level compared to Vampire's Kiss.
Well, because those actually made sense to the freakouts. This doesn't.
Yeah, it's just like, well, he's insane now.
We don't know why.
The best part is like I was looking at like the posters and looking at, like all the like the taglines and all that stuff. Like clearly, no one had any idea like how to sell this movie at all. Because like,
no.
There's vampires. It's Nicolas Cage. He's acting kind of crazy. It must be a comedy. Well, it's like a wacky comedy. A wacky romantic comedy.
Whoever was handling the postering, like different companies had to put like weird taglines, like. Edgy comedy, or like, it's a romance. It's like there's none of that.
Like, this is an outrageous dark comedy from the Los Angeles Times. Like this is like a disturbing descent into madness.
Yes, it is.
Like, it's not the first in its genre, but it's like
it has no genre. Chris. There's no genre for this.
Well, it's just like, what if Nicolas Cage had a freak out for 2 hours?
What if you paid Nicolas Cage in a mountain of cocaine?
Cocaine,
yes,
the
it's
movie.
A giant freak out. Just watch the commentary.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Just watch it. Just watch it.
It must be seen to believed.
Yes.
So, Chris, besides that, what else did you see?
Well, me and Joe watched a movie called Warehouse 24.
Storage 24.
Storage 24.
Yeah, I saw that. Isn't that a British movie?
Yes,
it sure is.
Yeah.
Totally British.
Totally British boy, Kraken.
I saw it was on DVD like a while ago, and then also I saw it on Netflix. So
did you actually see it?
I haven't seen it yet. No.
Okay, so you saw all of it. Well, we watched it, and you know the like blur on the back was more interesting than the movie. I have to say. It's about like these like random people, like this like. Giant arguing couple with their friends go to a storage unit to like collect their shit, and then a blackout happens and they have to like survive a monster that comes out of the dark and like chases them around a storage unit.
Mm-hmm. That was the abridged version.
That was the way abridged. The blur made it seem more interesting than that, but you start like hating everyone. It's one of those usual horror movies where, like, every character has, like, a quirk and you hate them for it.
Well, no. It's not a usual horror movie because usually there's a clear protagonist, but, like, you don't like anyone in this movie.
Yes.
At least I didn't. The only one I liked is that, like, crazy guy who showed up, but even that, he's just kind of like a old man Brown character. Like, oh, he says not to go in the woods. I warned those kids not to go in the woods.
Now he's
dead.
I mean, it's one of those things where, like, we couldn't predict who was the known protagonist,
mm-hmm.
or even what the monster was, but then they kind of, like, show the monster, and they won't stop showing the monster, and it's like, okay, I get it, okay, thank you.
Yeah, it was, like, sinister. in terms of like, there he is. Okay, hello. You're not scary anymore. Like, I know what you look like.
And okay. then we started like,
why are you showing up so much?
Right, just and then it starts showing up in places where like he can't fit in there. Like, how is he here?
Yeah, it was a little bizarre, but the idea was cool.
Yeah, the idea was pretty cool. It's just the execution was like, I hate all these characters.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the point, though.
I hope so.
I hope that was intentional, because I didn't like anybody.
Unless these were, like, sort of famous, like, UK stars that kind of, like, this is their first movie role.
I would have no idea.
Yeah, it's like, nope. Not to spoil it, but, like, I thought the storage units would come into play. Like, I thought, like, that would be kind of important, the setting. This movie could have taken place anywhere. It could have took place in a garage.
Yeah, it's clearly based on someone who was, like, in a storage unit one time.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, man, this is kind of creepy.
It's like, where's the cheapest place we can film a horror movie? What about this? What about this storage facility?
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing? No, just, like, two hallways.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris and I, our, like, collective hypothesis at the beginning was that the storage unit itself had something to do with, like, the monster. Whether the storage unit was, like, doubling as something else, or it was, like, a facade for, like, a secret
cabin in the woods
lab
thing,
or something like that. Right. Like, total cabin in the woods type setup. But that's actually not the case. And we won't, again, like, we won't spoil it or whatever, but it's a little less, like, I don't know, exciting or whatever. Like, there is a sort of twist at the end. And I'll admit, it's a better twist than, like, most M. Night Shyamalan twists as of late.
I didn't mind that part.
Yeah, no, it was a welcome twist. Like, it's kind of what it winds up being is kind of cliche, I guess, but it was done in a way that it's like, oh, well, I guess that makes sense. Like, it's not like a government experiment, but it's government property. I'm like, that's all I'll say.
So the creature comes out of a storage unit?
No, it actually breaks into it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, basically, okay, so the blackout is caused by a plane crash. There's a plane crash in London, like in the middle of London, and the crash happens near the storage unit, and this monster that was being transported on this plane just sort of like breaks out of the, I guess, cage or like raptor box that it's in, and just seeks refuge in the storage unit. But the storage unit, because there's a blackout, like, the emergency security gates, like, come down because it thinks it's being, like, tampered with or something, and it winds up locking people in there. So, it's a weird sort of jumping off point, but, I mean, it works. I mean, it gets the point across. Mm-hmm. And, so it basically becomes, like, they're trapped in there, but instead of, like, a creepy killer with a mask and a knife, it's a fucking giant monster. Who actually, decent special effects, I'll give it that. Good combination of practical and VFX going on.
So, anything else, Chris?
I watched, our follow-up was Vampire Dog.
Vampire Dog?
Double shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a Nicolas Cage movie, but it's actually not.
No, it's a Norm Macdonald movie. Like, Norm Macdonald, who hasn't really been in anything in the last 2 years?
A little more than that.
Well, I mean, he's been doing commercials.
Long time. It's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
is he the voice of the vampire dog?
Yep.
Sure. Okay.
So how do I explain this? So it's about this, like, mom and, like, it's about the son and, like, a boy and his mom who live in the middle of, like, the U.S. And their, like, relative in Transylvania dies, and the little boy, like, inherits a dog, which, like, that's the weirdest will ever. And, like, it turns out, like,
That kid got screwed.
Yeah, like, instead of, like, oh, your uncle died, well, you get some money. Well, it's like, oh, you get to also take
care of college fund. Yeah.
Yeah, just like, oh, he left you, like, this dog. It's like, oh, wow, like, how did he survive, like, a plane ride all the way from a different country? But I'm not getting to that. So, like, this kid moves into, like, this area where the toughest bullies are just, like,
preppy girls. Like, it's just, I don't understand, like, who, like, I get it, it's new age bullying, but still, like, it was like, this is the bully? Like, we couldn't figure it out. Like, I thought it was gonna be like a big guy or like a fat kid. It's like this skinny, cute blonde. I'm like, what?
Yeah, man, basically, like, where 80s or 90s movies, where, like, when kids' movies still had balls or whatever, like, it would probably be some, like, big, like, super senior doofus who's, like, picking on him and is like, hey, kid, where's your dad? Like, you're different. Fucking fag, like, mama's boy, like, stuff like that. But this, it literally, Chris is not exaggerating. Like, it really is, like, a little girl who's like, hey, you're not a good drummer, and we don't want you in our band.
Yes.
No one is.
Oh, my God.
No one will be friends with you on Facebook.
Okay, so let me get to, like, the two key points. One, the protagonist's mom is the new music teacher in the school, and she kind of hypes up her own son, which is, like, not a good thing. Because she's like, yeah, my son's really good at the drums. And the kid sucks playing the drums, like, in public.
Yeah, he's like Neil Peart by himself, and then,
yeah,
like,
he's really
as soon
good.
As people look at him, he's like, I can't do this.
But, like, Jesus, So then, like, it turns out the dog is a vampire, because he got bit by Dracula.
Obviously,
and then, like...
Well, he was a human, don't forget.
No.
Yeah. He was a human, and he got, like, put into a dog body or something.
No, he protected the owner of, like, that family clan, which is the same one the boys belong to.
Dude, so I remember them showing him being, like, a dude.
No, that was Vlad the Impaler.
Right, no, I know that, but in that part, like, I don't remember him being just, like, a dog walking around, and he's like, oh, fuck, I'm a vampire now.
No, he got bit by a vampire.
Wow, okay.
He was never a human. He just, like, could... I don't know how he could talk, but he just did.
Maybe I just, like, built that into the story.
To make
in
more
my
sense.
Mind so I could,
like,
rationalize him talking a little bit.
Like, there's a bunch of things that kind of, like, we're always questioning. Like, he always eats Jell-O. Oh, which they don't call Jell-O because that's licensed. They call it Jelly, or... Yeah, was it Jelly?
Jelly.
Yeah, and then, like, instead of, like, eating, like, people or whatever, he eats, like, bone marrow, and since, like, jelly and bone marrow, like, made out of the same thing.
Okay.
You know, like,
yep,
gelatin, like, it, that's yep. How he's able to, like, live forever and, like, be
it's
a vampire.
It's like a bloodless loophole.
Yeah,
it's like, ew, blood is gross, and it would also make this R-rated, so.
He's like...
It would make it super R-rated.
So it's basically like Bunnicula.
That was Bunnicula.
You guys never read their books? It was like this vampire bunny who, like, sucked the water out of vegetables?
No, but nope. That was written by a white person, I'll tell you that much.
It's basically the exact same premise.
Cool.
And, like, the dog teaches the kid how to be, like, kind of, like, courageous, sort of, and there's, like, this other subplot of, like, a weird woman who's just making homemade, like, pharmaceuticals out of her basement who wants the dog's blood to, like, make a youth serum, but that goes nowhere since she never catches the dog ever. And yeah, like, for a kids movie, I have to say, like, it's pretty coherent. Like, maybe I'm just explaining this wrong, but, like, there's certain parts I thought, like, this is gonna be really shitty and they're not gonna explain it and have giant, like, plot holes, but they explain it pretty well, like, to the point where it's, like, dangerously well. You know, I was like, this is coherent.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff for kids to, like, follow in terms of the plot. And there are times where I'm like, oh, what a satisfying, like, breakdown of why that happened. Or, like, oh.
Yeah, like, they actually explained it about, like, the dog, why he's a dog, like, why is he a vampire, like, his food habits, and, like, why the villain wants to kidnap the dog. And then the whole, like, other, like, half this movie is a weird, like, coming-of-age tale of, like, the kid overcoming his fear of drumming in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other half is just, like, weird, like, subplot where it's like, oh, this one wants to kidnap a dog, and oh, like, the dog really wants to go out in the sun, which...
It really does seem like one producer wanted it to be about one thing, the other producer wanted it to be about another, and, like, in the end, the editor had to please them both. Because
so
it really,
like,
just, like, doesn't fit a
so
lot
like,
of
what,
the time.
What if the dog befriends the boy, and then the woman wants to kidnap the dog? It's like, oh, okay, like... the weird part was that, like, when it finished, it's like, we didn't go, like, that fucking sucked. It was just like, oh, that was, again, like, a very...
That was interesting.
Well put movie. Yeah, it was, like, it was interesting more than, like, oh, man, that sucked.
Yeah, legitimately, not a bad movie.
Not a bad movie. I like Norm Macdonald's scenes, because it's like, he's a family-friendly version of Norm Macdonald. In a dog's body. And it was weird, because it's like, Norm, like, I saw you in Dirty Work. Like, the hell are you doing in a dog's body?
Mm. Wonder who'd win a fight between Vampire Dog and Karate Dog.
Probably Vampire Dog.
Vampire Dog.
Karate Dog was voiced by Chevy Chase.
And he knew Karate. But Vampire Dog, like, he ran real fast. His power was like a tornado of being really fast and, like, eating jelly.
Karate Dog could do, like, Matrix parodies and, like, dude, bullet time.
What about Hong Kong Phooey?
Well, Air Bud.
That's
true. One thing, though, was before we saw the art on Netflix, and we're like, Vampire Dog, Norm Macdonald. We're like, we both said, like, Norm Macdonald's the dog. We thought Norm Macdonald would be, like, the father or, like, someone related, not actually be the main, like, not be the dog. But then 5 minutes of the movie, we're like, Norm Macdonald's the dog.
That's all, like, older comedians do now is be dog voices.
Yeah, we're like, holy shit, this is like
the very lucrative business.
Yeah,
it's just a decline where it's like, well, your career's kind of like dead, so you're just a dog character now. Like, Jim George Lopez was a Chihuahua.
Yep.
Yeah, just like the next phase in any actor.
Everyone in
Eddie Murphy was a donkey.
Yep.
George. God, I feel like there's other ones.
Everyone in Dr. Dolittle.
Wasn't Norm Macdonald in that one, too?
I think he was also a dog in that movie.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he was a dog. He's got a very impressive dog voice resume.
Yeah, he does. So, anything else, Chris?
I remembered another movie, but that got knocked out of the water by Vampire's Kiss. Like, I swore, I was like, I gotta talk about this, and then I just don't remember it now. I'm like, oh my god.
You just got caged.
Yep.
So, Joe, did you see anything else?
I sure did. Other than those gems, and of course Vampire's Kiss, I also continued by James Bond tradition and watched Thunderball. I'll keep it short and sweet. Not as good as Goldfinger. Still a pretty decent movie. I was reminded of the random, like, gypsiness just a few Bonds ago.
Mm-hmm.
With the whole, like, Dominican, like, pride parade going on, like, fucking, like, Hispaniola Mardi Gras or whatever they had working.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was a little gratuitous, I thought. But, overall, can't complain. And, good movie, even though Thunderball, in my opinion, is, by and large, very forgettable. Like, not a great villain in the grand scheme of Bond movies.
One thing like Thunderball brought was like the underwater action sequences.
Yes. Oh my god, that's the other thing I wanted to say, was that like that was just too much for me.
Too much underwater.
Like, I'm sure at the time it was like very thrilling, but I'm like, okay, this is just like not exciting.
Dodging like it's just people semi-slow moving harpoons slow. And stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that harpoon almost hit me.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, oh, the Great Battle of Poseidon. Like, this is
Not
as exciting as it should be.
He's swimming at me furiously with a knife.
Yeah. Yeah, just overall not great.
That movie also has, like, the craziest, like, history behind it, because that's the one that's, like, the other company got, like, the rights to it, because they never secured the rights properly to it or something. So that's why we got basically the remake of it with, like, Never Say Never Again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, the battle for, like, the entire, like, every decade of Bond, it's always been, like, the battle of, like, well, Thunderball's rights are in question.
It's not that great of a movie, so...
No, it's not.
It definitely is, like, whatever. Ian Fleming's, like, fodder, like, story. Is like, and he does this in the water. I'm like, okay.
Yep. They're getting missiles or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else, Joe?
No, that's it.
All right. So I watched a couple things besides Vampire's Kiss. I watched Superman Unbound, the latest DC animated movie. and it was pretty awesome. I must say, probably like, I think definitely like one of the best, definitely the best Superman anime movie they've done so far. And then I think definitely like the, like in like top five, like overall for like DC anime movies. And basically it's the, they're adapting like the Brainiac story from Superman, which is Brainiac is this insane, like intergalactic villain who goes around different planets and steals all their knowledge and then blows up the planet so they can't produce any more knowledge because he's trying to like gain all the knowledge in the universe.
I think he's trying to index everything.
Yeah. And he's also like genetically engineered, so he's like, he has like robot eyes and like super, he's like steroided up and like, so he's like strength compared, like he can actually like fight Superman with his strength, but he also has like this like ridiculous like brain capacity. He's like constantly hooked up to like his skull ship. Yeah, it's basically just like he's coming to Earth and Superman has to like fly to his ship and stop him, and then there's this whole thing where like Brainiac stole like the capital city of Krypton, Kandor, and like shrunk it down, because another thing is that he does after he visits the planet is like he steals like their greatest city and like shrinks it down and like keeps the people like they never die, but they're like cut, they're like stuck in like this glass prison like ever. So, like, Superman gets, like, shrunk down to Kandor for, like, a little bit, and then, figures out how to get out, and then, yeah, there's, like, Supergirl's, like, parents are in the city, so, like, he has to, like, figure out a way to get them out, and, really awesome voice acting. Like, I know we were talking about, like, the last couple, like, Year One for Batman and, like, Dark Knight Returns, pretty much amazing in every aspect besides voice acting. Voice acting was like the only area they were like lacking. And this one is, the voice acting is pretty awesome for the whole thing. Matt Bomer from White Collar is Superman. He does a really awesome Superman voice.
Really?
Well, he does like an awesome job. Like he slightly changes his voice to be Superman. Then like he switches like his normal like White Collar, like normal voice for Clark Kent. And then, John Noble from Fringe is like the absolute perfect Brainiac voice, because he's just, like super cold, super clinical, like no emotion. And then it was the two main ladies from Castle were like Lois and Supergirl. I think it was like Stana Kotick or whatever her name is, like the main girl on Castle.
No clue.
Yeah, like she's like the detective that like Nathan Fillion's like always like running around with.
But it's weird because I'm confusing her with, isn't she like Zooey Deschanel's like sister?
No, that's Bones.
Ah, they look alike. They look very similar.
Mm-hmm. They're both on the same network now. Because Bones and New Girl are on Fox. Superman Unbound, some animation is great as usual. Some fantastic like fight sequences. The only thing that was kind of like I'd ding it for was like the end. Like Brainiac goes down like this like really bizarre, like it's like this like super glaring like design flaw of Brainiac. It's like maybe they should have figured it out before they like send him, like whoever like built him, maybe they should like figure that before they send him out.
What do you mean? It was like if you hit him on the head?
No, it's just, I mean, I don't, I can spoil it if you want, but
no, keep it a secret.
Okay, but yeah, it's like it's kind of like when they've showed like what it is, it's kind of like glaring. Like okay, it's kind of a lame weakness for an awesome villain. One more last thing about it is that it keeps up like the tradition of like they're slowly like getting more and more like they're pushing like the envelope, like the like how it's like more and more like appealing to like adults, because like it's actually pretty damn violent, just like Dark Knight Returns was. Like the opening is like they're building like Brainiac, and it's like his like organic eyeballs are getting ripped out of his skull, and you actually see the whole thing, and like he's just like getting his like entire body like just like warped with like steroids and like pumping fluids into him and stuff. It's like kind of like super disturbing. And then the main attack of like, so he has like these like Brainiac drones that he sends out, and their main attack is like launching out this basically this like scorpion like chain with like a hook on the end of it, like hooking into people's heads, pulling them into them, and like sucking all their knowledge out and then exploding their heads. So
kind of like the bug from Starship Troopers.
Kind of. And it's, I mean, they cut, obviously cut away. You don't see like their head exploding, but like they cut away. And it's like, oh, here's a fountain of blood off screen. So yeah, definitely appreciate like DC like realizes like there's a lot of like adult fans watching these, so they're like not like kidifying them too much. Like it's like we're like they're not R rated, but they're not like they're not gonna be like Cartoon Network anytime soon. So
it might be on Adult Swim.
Maybe. So that definitely worth checking out if you liked any of all the previous DC animated movies. And then the other thing I watched Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh.
Hot off the Iron Man 3 viewing last week. So from Shane Black, I see directed Iron Man 3. Also starring Robert Downey Jr. And it's a super, super awesome like noir comedy. Have you seen it, Chris?
I've seen parts.
Okay.
Like I just know he was a thief. That kind of stumbled into
it. Yeah, he's audition. Like in the beginning, he's like trying, like he and his partner like robbing this like toy store, and then his partner gets shot by cops, and he ends up like he like runs in the highest building, and then he ends up in like this like audition for like this cop show, and he's like the script that they're doing for like the audition is like you killed your partner, he's dead because of you. He's like, so he does like this whole like he's basically just like going off like what he's feeling at the time, like oh man, he's really good. I like this method stuff he's doing. So yeah, they sent him to Hollywood to like be in this cop movie or like basically audition for this cop movie, and they like sort of like get like ready for the role. They pair him up with Val Kilmer, who is this private detective named Gay Perry, and
he's gay.
Yeah, and then so they are like they go to this one like so Gay Perry has this job where he has to like go like spy on this. The wife of this guy, or like the husband of this guy, yeah, this wife, like this cabin, and they end up witnessing like a murder and finding the body, and then like they're like basically like spend the entire movie like trying to figure out what happened, and also because they're kind of like framed for it, so they have to like figure out a way to like get them out, like clear their names and like figure out who actually did it. It's definitely like, it's like I don't know, like Fargo or definitely feels like Coen Brothers a little bit, but also like it's super like they mention pulp detective novels all the time, so it's like a super like pulpy like brick sort of style, like it's like all like this is like super like everyone's like a pulp cliche and stuff, and but it's like
everyone's like a wisecracking like.
Yeah, there's like
character.
Or it's like yeah, there's like the femme fatale and like all these like all the like stereotypes of like pulp movies and stuff. So it also has like constant like Robert Downey Jr. voiceover, and it's not just him like narrating what's happening. It's like him like critiquing the movie too. It's like, well, that scene didn't work, or like going back and like or like just pointing out like kind of like weird like the end of like beginning is like. Oh man, I wonder if that's gonna come back at any time during this movie. So it's like a, kind of like foreshadowing scenes. Like, well, did y'all make a note of that? Because that's gonna come up for later. So yeah, it's definitely if you liked the Robert Downey Jr. Tony Stark side of Iron Man 3, then you should definitely go check out Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Also, I think my favorite Val Kilmer movie.
It's also like right when he lost a little bit of weight and then he gained it right back.
Yeah, but he is so awesome in that movie. Like, he's like he will not take any of our Downey Jr. shit. Like he's always just like giving this like sarcastic like Robert Downey Jr. is like telling like doing something and like just like one part where, like they like Val Kilmer has like this like he has like a gun and like. They used to like shoot at some of the guys that like murdered the girl that they found. So then like Robert Jr. like throws it in the lake to like get rid of it. He's like, "Where's my gun?" It's like, "I threw it in the lake." He's like, "Oh, You swim in a lake. That's a great move because I'm not going to dredge the lake or anything and find my gun that got had bullets fired out of it at people that weren't here anymore. So they have awesome buddy cops
rapport. I saw it from the trailer a lot where it looks like they make a really weird buddy cop team.
Yeah. So it's definitely it's not Netflix or anything, but if you can find it somehow, definitely check it out because it's super awesome. And that's pretty much it. So I think we'll probably wrap this thing up for the week unless there's anything else you can think of, Chris.
Not really.
Okay. But yeah, like we've been saying the whole episode, go check out our Vampire's Kiss commentary on the site.
If you dare.
If you dare. If you think you can survive the cageness. You can watch, sync up both the audio and the video right on the post, because from YouTube, so super easy to do. And go everythingaction.com for all of the other, all the TV news we talked about this week. We have posts for each of the networks with all their new shows. You can go check out the list of canceled and renewed shows. Trailers are up there, all sorts of other stuff. Facebook.com/everything.action is the Facebook page. Twitter.com/EVAction is the Twitter account. You can follow us on there. Tumblr, everythingaction.tumblr.com. We're on iTunes. If you search for Everything Action, you can find us on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher.com. Stream us or download us on there. And you can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we'll see you next week.